I'm Brian.
I'm Griff.
And this is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and inspiration to help you start, manage, and grow your business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 192.
192.
192. Eight away from 200.
I was going to say, it's just a number though, right?
It's just a number to me. It's just another odometer turn.
It's a milestone.
If we had 12 fingers, it wouldn't be. We would be in base 12 and not base 10.
Okay. And if we were counting feedback, we would still need 800 more before we got a red star.
Do we still give stars?
That we still give stars.
No, I hadn't really looked at mine before.
And you know what arrived for me this week?
No. You what
your social security? A 4XL label printer.
You bought a thermal printer.
I did.
Have you used it?
I bought it? Not yet. I bought it last week. Actually, I think I bought it when I was in Denver because I thought there's no way I'm going back to San Jose without, you know, buying one. So then it arrived this week and I haven't had to use it yet. And I bought it used because I thought, you know what?
Oh, yeah, that's smart.
I don't need to, you know, drop a couple $100 right away. Like, right. Let me get one. And this was in good condition and it's used. And the person said it works. So I'll find out this weekend if it really does. And I'm sure it does. Yeah. It doesn't look real beat up or anything. They just said they didn't need it anymore is what they said.
Well, that's what people upgrade.
So for $48.
Yeah.
$48 wasn't bad.
Oh, no, that's great. You're a smart shopper.
Yeah.
You just got to get it set up and turned on.
I know. And it didn't come with any labels, obviously. I bought a roll of labels on eBay. So that's going to get me to list some stuff this week because I want to sell some stuff. And I haven't listed anything in a few weeks like I talked about last time, I think.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, you got any news?
So have you ever heard of Snapchat?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I don't use it. Why? Should I?
You should use it.
Why?
I know, because the images go up for 24 hours and then they're gone. That's all I know about Snapchat. No, I'm kidding. The reason you should do it and use it is all types of people love sharing and talking about their favorite products on social media. And Snapchat users have been taking social media by storm.
Okay, so Snapchat is the latest social media craze.
But it's been around for a while.
Really?
Yeah, because I remember my kids, you know, years ago using it. And it could be a great way to get some buzz around your business.
Okay, now I'm interested. Tell me more.
I will. eBay has worked with Snapchat to create a quick, easy way to turn listings into eye-catching snaps right from the eBay app.
Okay, now I am interested.
You should, because this applies to you. With just one tap, you can create a Snapchat-ready design with listing details, an image, and a tappable link back to your eBay listing.
Oh, now I am very, very interested.
This new template is ready to share as is, or you can get creative with stickers, text, and effects to make your listing stand out. And you can explore this feature directly from your active listings or any listing on the eBay app. So, Griff, ready to give it a try?
I am. I haven't even got the TikTok yet, but I'll get the Snappy Chat. The Facey Book and the Instagram.
Snapchat one's kind of cool. It's got a yellow thing. I have it on my app.
So you're saying I should get an account, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But make sure you have the latest version of the eBay app and you're logged into Snapchat.
Right. So I need a Snapchat account, obviously. Yet one more thing to get.
Obviously. Once you've created a Snapchat account, go back to the eBay app, tap the share icon at the top of the listing page or the active listings page, select the Snapchat icon, and start sharing.
Oh, it sounds so easy. Brian, is there more?
There will be.
Oh.
We'll be expanding this feature to more pages within the eBay app over the coming months, so stay tuned. You can get more information in seller news.
Yes.
So community.ebay.com, go to the announcements, and there's an announcement about this with links off to the pertinent information.
So yet one more way to take advantage of a social media channel to get interest in your business and make some sales.
Exactly. And check we've it made it easy with Snapchat. It's easy. One click.
Do we do anything with the Tiki Talk?
Tiki Talk. You're making me think it's like I'm going to a tiki lounge.
Tiki Talk, right? You should ask me who our guests are.
Who are our guests this week?
We're going to talk to Valerie Yee. Do you know Valerie?
I do.
She's been an eBay employee for a long time.
Stellar employer.
Yeah. And she's been on the product side, and she's going to come and talk to us about some of the stuff that they're doing over in product. I've actually recorded the interview already a couple of days ago, so it's all set to go. And then when we're done with that interview, we have a segment that's set aside just for you.
My first segment.
Your first segment.
It's a mini segment.
It's a mini segment, but I'm so excited because Brian actually was able this time to wield the recorder and capture some audio at the seller meetup. And I gave a listen, and it's usable.
Good.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. So we'll meet some of the sellers that you met. But first, it's time to meet Valerie. At the March 10th seller check-in event, we took questions from people that were part of that event, and they were questions for the product team with a promise the team made to answer them, provide the answers for the questions on the podcast. Well, a little time went by. We apologize for that, but better late than never. Joining us now to help answer these questions is the Chief of Staff from Seller Experience and my good friend Valerie Yee. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, Griff. How you doing?
It's good to have you here. And we have some questions that were asked, and you're going to answer them.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so let's start off. The seller, Kim, asked this following question. When I called to get the totals of my shipping costs and fees, I was instructed to download a report which was downloadable in an Excel sheet. I don't know Excel and was told by two eBay employees that they don't support Excel questions. Why does eBay use Excel if they don't support it?
Sellers can view their fees and shipping costs for any time period in the past 2 years directly on the, quote, traffic page in the performance tab of Seller Hub. The sellers need listing level details. They are visible in the table view at the bottom of the page. Additional details are always available in the download option to get details in a CSV format file. So it's comma separated value CSV files. Mm-hmm. They can be opened with any spreadsheet application, including Excel or any other program capable of viewing data in this format.
Right. It's not that it's an Excel format. It's a format that can be read by any spreadsheet program.
Correct.
For example, you can open it in Google Sheets, which is a free program
if
you have a Google account. And if you have a Mac, there's a built-in application called Numbers, which I use at home.
Exactly.
And for PCs, there are a number of free on-the-computer options for reading them and opening them in spreadsheet files, like LibreOffice, I think is still available. So there's a lot of different options for reading these files. If you're a business owner, you need to understand that spreadsheets are a common format. And it's not that it's an Excel Microsoft format. It's a format that is readable by all those applications.
Exactly. Right?
Hope that answered your question, Kim. Our next seller, Eric, asked the following question. While item specifics do help with SEO and other buyer searches, it really seems that there are way too many boxes to click at times. Specifically, some of the stamps categories, for example, U.S. Postal History, have erroneous boxes to check, which makes it feel like whoever set this up isn't knowledgeable about stamp collecting. Can this be streamlined or revised?
So item specifics is always a famous topic.
Yes.
And the reality is that the guidance is generally the same for all categories. You only need to fill out what is required and the recommended item specifics that are relevant for your listing. Item specifics are designed to increase findability in searches, which increases your chances to sell. Now, we did look into the U.S. Postal History category, and the only thing required is place of origin. The recommended aspects are related to the stamp present on the letter, which is why these items are under the stamp category. So it may feel like it's erroneous, but the reality is only one is required, and then that's the place of origin.
Right. It may be erroneous, I think the better word is irrelevant to your particular stamp, but not to others. And there's no way for us to know. That's why we provide them. I think there's a misunderstanding among a lot of sellers that I have to fill in those recommended item specifics or I'm not going to get the lightning bolt and no one will see my item. And that's not actually correct.
No, it is actually a common misconception. And really, you only need to worry about the required. And the recommended are important, but they're not essential.
Right. And only if they relate directly to your item. Correct. I just listed a camera and half of the item specifics asked for have nothing to do with the camera. I'm not going to fill them in with anything. Just leave them blank.
And I think one of the challenges is people always see that, please add your recommended, and they get very annoyed by that little red bubble. Now, if you are in Seller Hub, you do have the option to say, don't show me this again. And when you're editing your listing, and so you can sort of remove those red bubbles if they really annoy you that bad.
Yeah, unfortunately, you have to do them one at a time.
That's true.
But you know, I figured out a better way. Just hide the column. You can customize the table, and I just hide that column.
It doesn't work on native app though.
Doesn't?
It's still on the native app.
Oh, it's not on mine.
Oh, you must have done it. Okay.
Anyway, Eric, I hope that answers your question. Our next question comes from eBay seller Marcia, who asked, would you consider a collaboration between eBay and a tax filing platform like TurboTax to make a tax filing product that would be geared to making it easier for eBay sellers to prepare their tax return for the 2022 tax year? Good question.
So I had to check with the tax team on this because this is actually not out of the seller product. And the tax team said, thanks for the suggestion. This is not on their roadmap at this time, but they're always continuously looking at ways to help our sellers and improve their experience on the platform.
Don't we have an integration recently with QuickBooks?
I think so. Yeah. That I don't know.
Yeah. So it's not the same as filling out your tax form, but we do have at least a
ability to download it.
Yeah. There's a relationship with QuickBooks. We talked about it in a previous episode, so you can find that in a previous episode, or you can just go to the seller announcement board. Look for the seller announcement that was posted about the Intuit QuickBooks and eBay partnership. That may be some help. And I think it was after March.
Semi-recent.
Yeah, I think since the question was asked. Our next question comes from Andrew, and he has three parts to his question, and we'll answer them all. His first part, we are avid eBay sellers and really dislike the search engine that seems to plummet and disappear listings from buyers when an item is over 60 days old. It would be nice if good till canceled was effective in collectibles or vintage items and stay visible for longer than 60 days. It can take several months to connect with a buyer at the asking price of a vintage item. Oh, that word. Let's answer that question first, Valerie.
So I had to go consult with the search team. And the answer they gave was our search engine doesn't drop listings after 60 days, but over time, competition does grow against the listings that haven't sold as more sellers keep adding fresh new listings. So this may cause the unsold listings to lose visibility slowly over time. So we understand the marketplace's dynamic with new inventory and price fluctuations. But to help you, we recommend using our TerraPeak product research tool to help understand market price trends. Mm. The data goes back 365 days to help you research long-tail collectible and vintage items.
Yeah, it's a good point. I sell those kind of items a lot. And what I tend to do is every 3 months or so go in and either make changes to the listing. I don't end them, but I'll make changes or lower the price. Could be a price point too. They usually end up selling.
It's dynamic. Yeah. The marketplace is definitely dynamic.
Absolutely. Andrew also asked, also, eBay envelopes should be expanded to top-rated sellers for everything that is 3 ounces or less that fits in an envelope in any category. Okay.
So the shipping team consulted on this one, and they said it was a great suggestion on how we could expand the eBay standard envelope eligibility. They are exploring the right way to expand on this program in this year in 2022 and appreciate his feedback. So stay tuned for updates from the shipping team on eBay standard envelope later this year.
I think it's like any rollout. It's an unusual product, and we purposely did it incrementally. I think that's the only way to do this. A lot of clerks in some USPS post offices had no idea what this is. So I think it's a learning process for them as well. And his third question, lastly, says Andrew, we are in Arizona. It would be advantageous for our listings to be predominant in the Western United States. We have tons of sales to the East Coast that can be very costly for heavy items and large items. We want our overall eBay global exposure, but a way to say, hey, we have a heavy bulky item and would prefer to sell it within a specific region.
Yeah, so we understand that some sellers are keen on having buyers pay a variable rate that covers the seller shipping cost, obviously based on where the buyer is located. And sometimes those shipping costs and seller have to pay can vary widely, especially as you get into the bigger and bulkier inventory. To specifically solve for this need, we have provided an option for sellers to configure shipping rate tables. You can read more about the shipping rate tables and their functionality by visiting ebay.com/ship/RT.
Yeah.
Rate tables, yeah.
It's another option for shipping. I wonder if Andrew also meant that he'd love it if buyers had a way for searching in regions. So just limiting their search, for example, to the West Coast or to Arizona.
You can in search limit to how many miles away it is.
Yeah, there's the distance. Mm-hmm. So you can say distance from me. I do that sometimes when I'm searching for stuff.
For sure.
So those are the questions that Valerie brought to us from the seller check-in that was held on March 10th, where the product team promised that there'd be answers on the podcast. I hope those are helpful answers. When is the next event?
I believe it's May 19th.
Oh, it's coming up. Yeah, or depending on when we air this, it may have already happened. Are you going to ask for questions there as well?
I don't know. We will have a breakout room to discuss the new listing tool.
Oh, yes. Yeah, because that's fully released soon, or it is about. lots of feedback on the new listing tool.
Right? Definitely.
Well, I know some people have some suggestions on how to improve it.
So we read them all, just to be clear. Like, we definitely read what's posted on the community boards and on other external social platforms, and we definitely take them to heart and make sure that we address them.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. Valerie, I want to thank you for stopping by.
Thanks, Chris.
Valerie Yee is the Chief of Staff for Seller Experience. And again, she's providing answers to questions that were asked by sellers at the March 10th Seller Check-In. Brian, last week, you and members of the community team attended a seller meetup in Denver.
We did.
How did it go?
It went really, really well.
I know you love these.
I do. It's been 2 years since we've gone to a meetup. I went to the Reseller Remix in Las Vegas last year, but that's
kind of a different thing, isn't
different.
It?
Different. Yeah. It's, you know, like Ecom Chicago, it's more of an event than it is, you know, a single evening, like the meetups and the seller meetings are. And so it was nice to get out and see literally dozens of sellers in one location. And we also took the time during the day to go visit two sellers and see their operations and what they do.
You did bring back some audio from the event.
I did. I took the little mini recorder out, which is sometimes a challenge for me.
So I've gone through the audio and you did a good job.
Well, that's good to hear because I met some really wonderful sellers.
All right. Well, let's start off. Who's this first seller we're going to hear from?
The first one actually was recorded at Dave and Lori's offices. Tommy and Leah, they were in from Pennsylvania and came out for the meetup. And they had just recently started within the last 18 months selling on eBay.
Okay, let's take a listen.
My name is Tommy Pags.
And I am Leah Palyugi, and our store is Soulmate Boutique.
So what brought you out to Denver?
We're doing the meetup with eBliss tonight, and we're looking forward to meeting other eBay sellers.
And how long have you been selling on eBay?
Only a year.
And how's it going?
It's been an interesting experience. Selling online has been unique to try and learn. It's a learning curve from trying to sell to people and present something to them that they want to buy, especially online, which is pictures, but we're learning as we go. We found eBay's had some great support systems to kind of teach us along the way. Yeah, it's been difficult but fun.
Is there anything you'd like to see eBay do differently that would help make it easier for you?
I would love if the interface had a seller interface. So when I log on...
Like on the mobile app? Or?
No, on the computer. When I log on and I click onto my eBay, it goes to my seller versus the buying page. I would love that. I would love to have a seller. When I log in, I'm a seller, not a buyer.
I would say too, and I might be speaking out because you may have this and I don't know, so shame on me, but if there are sellers out there that want to take on somebody or somebody who's willing to share their knowledge, it might be a resource, somebody who's already been doing it a long time and, you know, can answer a lot of questions. Like I understand from in my previous life, it was hard for me to know exactly what was going on the ground floor. Like I lived at 10,000 feet. So I would always go down and skim the trees when I could, but it was difficult for me to understand a lot of those things. And I think that if there were other sellers who, and I'm sure we've met so many people willing to help in eBay, that maybe they'll have some sort of resource groups that knew maybe you can reach out or, you know, if someone's a new seller, say, hey, this group's going to be available. If you want to log in, this person could kind of be a coach for you or something like that. If you need it, I don't know.
Cool. There's so much to learn. I am primarily the lister. I do all the clicking on the screens. And it's amazing to me that a year in, there's probably only about 20% of the buttons that I've actually touched. Okay. There's so many buttons on eBay that are available to me that I haven't used yet because I go into it when I have a problem.
Right.
I dig in when I have a problem. I kind of just deal with the surface and then dig in.
We should probably
and that's how I learn.
Yeah. More time for learning.
Right. Yeah. I know you guys do the monthly update, the email when you say, hey, we've got these updates, look in here. But, you know, maybe just emails to new sellers that just say, hey, there's this link. There's this link.
There's this link.
I mean, just, no, not new. Right. Stuff that's available. Just, hey. That would be neat because we don't know that it's even there.
Well, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk to me.
Awesome. We appreciate you guys coming down here.
Thanks.
Well, they sound like cool sellers.
They are. Yeah. Great energy. Excited to be starting on the platform.
Who did you talk to next?
Then it was actually at the event. And there was a couple from Kansas, which pretty far away, 4-hour drive for them to come. Chelsea and Jacob, primarily clothing sellers. A younger couple trying to make clothing work and are making it work for them.
Okay, good. Let's take and listen.
For Jacob and Chelsea with American Dream Resale.
And what's your eBay user ID?
ADR LLC.
What brings you to this meetup?
We just kind of wanted to visit with other resellers and see what was new and what other people are doing and see how everybody else runs their businesses.
And what type of inventory do you sell?
Clothing only.
And how long have you been selling?
December of 2021.
Yeah. Okay.
So about 18 months.
Where are you located?
Syracuse, Kansas, southwestern Kansas.
What's the thing that you most would like to get out of Lori and Dave and Liz's meetup tonight?
That's a good question. I'm a data guy, so any kind of numbers that can help us run our business is what I'm interested in.
I'm just curious how everyone's doing, you know? I mean, Things have been way up and down, so it's really good just to get everybody together, just to see kind of where everyone's at, and on so many different levels.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking a couple minutes, and if you have any questions, of course, I'm Brian Burke, and you can...
Yeah, interesting couple.
It's great to see a young couple like Jacob and Chelsea at this event, because it just shows that eBay is as relevant for a young couple as it is for someone in their 40s or someone in their 50s or 60s or even 70s, as they prove.
eBay is age agnostic.
It is. It's like, hey, it's a platform. It doesn't matter. Like whoever can make it work, make it work.
Who are our next sellers that you recorded?
The next one I actually spoke to was Lori Bilyeu. Lori and Dave hosted the event along with Liz O'Kane, who actually runs the Colorado Springs meetup.
Yeah.
They kind of combined into one for the evening.
Can I ask your name?
Lori Bilyeu, and my user ID on eBay is Cavemen2013. And we run the Denver eBay meetup group here in Denver. And we wanted to have you guys out and visit us last January, I think. But we weren't able to have that one, so we're doing it now in May. And we have about 40 resellers from a long
with a lot of energy.
Yes. And so they're so excited to be in person, seeing people too. And we're just excited to have everybody here.
So what do you expect to get out of the night?
It's whenever resellers get together in person, talking about reselling, talking about eBay, you can't help but have energy and excitement in the room. So that happens every single time we have a meetup. And that's why they are so important to have in person, if possible. But, you know, it just helps everybody. And it's so glad that you guys are here. I hope you get to talk to as many people as possible. And I'm sure they can't wait to hear from you guys. So,
thanks, Lori.
You're welcome.
Dave was off on the other side of the room, so I only spoke to Lori. But we should have them on.
We will.
Yeah.
Who else did you speak to? Who's next?
So then I spoke with Larry from Countrywide Tool Sales and asked him kind of about his business and kind of he's also one we talked earlier about, like, anybody on the platform can sell. I think he's a really good example of you can almost sell anything on the platform.
Oh, yes.
Because
pretty much,
he sells some very specialized items.
Well, let's take a listen.
Can I ask your name?
My name is Larry. Knock, NHCH.
And your user ID?
My primary one is Countrywide Tool Sales.
Larry, how long have you been selling on eBay?
Probably about, well, I started as a goof when eBay, I believe, was only about 2 years old. So I think I've been doing it about 23 years.
Okay, so 99, 98.
Yeah. Then I went dormant for a couple of years, but I picked it up about 10 years ago. And I am full-time. This is one of my primary sources of living.
And your username's got the term tools in it, so correct. I assume you're selling tools.
I sell tools. I sell mostly specialized tools. Most of the tools that I sell are tools that if the average person looked at them and saw them, they would have no idea what they are, what they do, and how they work.
So like electronic tools
electronic,
or manufacturing kind of tools?
Electronic, manufacturing, specialized, like equipment for piping, for construction.
Did you work in that industry?
I was in the electronic industry when I started with eBay back in the 90s. I was in the cellular phone business, and that's how I got started with eBay. Okay. Started to sell stuff online with that. But yeah, I've been in the electronic business most of my life.
So that gives you the expertise kind
correct.
Of to know, like, that's a valuable one
correct.
Versus not.
Yeah, and I can fix a lot of electronics that are component-level repairs on damaged items. So I can purchase that stuff damaged, and I can usually repair it.
Which then drives up the value
correct.
For what you can get.
Correct.
What brought you here tonight?
I've been friends with Dave for many years. I'm actually the one that introduced him to eBay.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Oh, yeah. And he really took it to the next level. You know, I'm just happy coasting, doing what I'm doing. He really, him and Lori and he are really gung-ho with it, which is really great.
They are.
But I got him into it when I started taking him around with me and showing him how simple this can be, you know, and every part of it is just so, well, to me, it's easy now. I've been doing it so long, but everything works so well with my life working with eBay.
That's great. And, yeah. And do you still work full-time or part-time elsewhere, or this, you said this is primary?
This is primary. I do. I've been in the real estate industry most of my life, even though I'm a realtor. I'm an investor, and I've been doing that since I was in my early 20s. I still do that, but this is the most fun that I have every day, is working with the tools and eBay.
Anything you'd like eBay to do to make things better for you?
Yes. There's only one complaint that I have. We need to have another eBay open in Las Vegas. That is it.
So I'll tell you who to talk to about that.
Okay.
Rebecca.
Okay. Because that is absolutely my favorite, and we've done that every year that it was there. But honestly, having the concierge service, I'm pretty self-sufficient. I try to solve problems on my own. I feel so guilty the few times that I have to call concierge service or something, because it frustrates me that I can't resolve it on my own. And it's usually something, a simple glitch. And I have to say, without the concierge service, it's for me, it would really be a hardship. So that's something that I'm really appreciative of too. And the way they treat me when I have an issue as a very high volume seller, dollar wise, and you know, stuff like that, I really don't have any complaints, I have to say.
Fantastic. Great to hear. Nice meeting you, Larry.
You too, Brian.
Thank you so much for selling on eBay.
You got it, Brian.
These seller meetups have been going on. Like you said, I used to go to a lot of them. I did. I think I started actually going to them like in 2004 or 5.
That was probably when Stephanie kicked them off.
Stephanie
did the first one.
Yeah. And Rich and Nyla Rich in Chicago.
Yeah.
They've just become a feature of selling on eBay, and they've grown over the years. In your mind, what are the benefits of going to a seller meetup?
Connecting with other sellers. And what I hear over and over and over from sellers is, wow, somebody else gets what I'm doing. They speak the same language I'm speaking. And like my spouse or my partner or whoever, they think I'm crazy. And then they go to one of these seller meetups and they go, oh, they get it. So part of it is just that camaraderie around, hey, somebody else who's doing what I'm doing. The next thing that's really important is shared ideas. Oftentimes, someone might be struggling with some issue, either on the platform or sourcing or how to ship or whatever it happens to be. And someone else has already solved that problem in a way that they can leverage to get more efficient in selling or find new sources. Those things come out very often in these meetups. And then I think it's long-term kind of support system. The number of people who meet, become friends, then connect during the week. You and I get to run into each other like at lunch, or we can run out for coffee. Oftentimes our sellers are, you know, one or two people working in a business. And this allows them to create a network of friends that they can tap into. And literally, whether it's Kansas or Pennsylvania in someone in Colorado, you can get on the phone or you can get on a chat line or whatever and communicate, or someone local where you can meet for coffee. Lori explained that, you know, one of the sellers that they met actually in one of our
check-ins.
Yeah. And afterwards, there's always these breakouts. And Lauren met Lori in the breakout and then said, well, where are you? And they were like 20 minutes apart from each other.
Huh.
And so Lori said, well, come over. And Lauren went over to Lori's and Lori showed what they did. And so now all of a sudden you have this connection in town. So to me, that value of in-person, local is really helpful. You know, I encourage anyone, go to a seller meeting or a meetup. If there isn't one in your area, you can start one for free basically on our platform now at events.ebay.com. And if you don't see one in your area, you can request to start one and we'll get you set up. And it can be as simple as, hey, I'm going to meet for coffee at 11 o'clock at the local coffee shop and just talk with anyone, up to an event like we went to with Lori where Rebecca presented, so that Rebecca had slides and it was a little more formal.
Yeah. And a lot of the meetups that have grown over the year have started out as just like a little coffee clutch, like in Starbucks or in a Panera Bread. I've been to those. And maybe it's just three or four people, but that's how everything starts. And we'll help support you. Just go to events.ebay.com.
Right.
And you can look for a meetup there. And if you don't see one, maybe you consider being a host and starting your own meetup in that area. What benefits do we provide on events.ebay.com?
There's a platform so that they can actually advertise their events. We give them the ability to create their own like logo so you can differentiate. And then there's also the ability to host it via the platform, or they can actually put in a Zoom number if they want to do virtual. So they have the ability to advertise it for either virtual or in person. If it's in person, they can put in the location and the time and the date. If they know they're going to meet every, say, third Tuesday at 7 p.m., it's very easy for them to just do a repeating meeting, and then it's just scheduled and every single one of them will be shown. And then we provide, you know, when they have meetings, we will provide some eBay swag that they can give out at their events. And they just have to request it in advance if it's in person, or if they're virtual, we'll send it out to a few people that they raffle off or however they want to do it.
So it's events@ebay.com. Check it out and either start going to a meetup now that people are heading out, or if you don't find one that's in your area, that's your cue to perhaps consider starting a meetup for eBay sellers in your location.
You got questions?
We have answers. No. We got answers. Before we get to the email questions, were there any questions from the Denver meetup that you answered that our listeners might find interesting?
There were a couple. The first one was, there was a seller that we were speaking to, and she was not using time away because she was using the global shipping program. And her understanding was, by using the global shipping program, time away didn't work with it. It was the first that I'd ever heard that. And so I actually went back during the event. I actually texted some folks and found that that was not the case. So I was able to get back to her and let her know that, no, my assumption was correct. If you are using GSP, there is no reason not to use time away. And what she was doing was manually, she'd go on a vacation, she'd set the handling time out.
Oh, jeez.
So it was all manual.
Did she say where she heard this?
She just said that was her understanding, and she couldn't remember where she heard it, but she was like told, you know, in some discussion forum or somewhere that that was the case. My assumption is if she had that information, and it was very specific, it was like, no, you can't use the time away feature with GSP, then I'm sure other listeners may have come across that, and I'll put it out. If any of our listeners see that, please tell people that's incorrect. You can use time away if you're using Global Shipping Program, and encourage you to try time away whenever you go away.
Exactly.
Let us do the work for you, or let the system do the work for you.
Was she relieved?
She was. She was very happy, and she was very happy how quickly the response came back. Because I knew the answer, but at the same time, I'm thinking,
where do you go to find the
answer? Do I really know the answer?
Exactly.
You know?
And what if that was the case?
It's good to double check.
Yeah. I think if it was actually the case, we would have heard of it already.
Yeah, I think because the number of our sellers who use GSP
and time away
is immense. So like we would have heard all kinds of problems.
What was the other question?
During the QA session at the Denver meetup, one of the questions that came up was, I'm really frustrated that I try and fill in the circle of recommended item specific. And I thought, okay, we've talked about this many times. Rebecca responded with the same response that we all would give in the company. And somebody else then kind of asked the question in a different way, or was kind of like, really? Like, I thought I have to really fill that in. And so I just want to encourage all of our listeners, use the appropriate item specifics for your item and don't feel like you need to close that circle. So just wanted to make sure everybody heard it again.
Yeah, I'm going to be right up front about this. I think I've danced around it a little bit trying to be diplomatic, but that circle was a terrible idea. It encourages the wrong behavior that we're looking for sellers. The item specifics you want to use are the ones that relate directly to your items. They're not always going to relate. You just leave those blank, and it's not a game. It's not about fill in the circle. It's just providing those relevant item specifics beyond the required in the recommended section that may or may not work for your item. Don't fill them in if they don't relate to your item. Well, those are interesting questions.
Yeah, it was fun. It was great of him.
Our first email question, Brian, came to podcast@ebay.com this week, and it's from eBay seller Judith, who asked, I would like to see someone from eBay, if possible, come in and discuss the group of reports we need to run to track revenue and expenses on a monthly or year-to-date basis. What do you think Judith does for a living?
She does accounting.
You've got it. Right now, it seems we have to cobble together several reports to determine the eBay store subscription fees, eBay fees, including final value, promotions, etc., eBay shipping fees. By the way, I buy all my labels, says Judith, through eBay. Is there a report within eBay that will tell me what I spent on those labels? I know it is up to the seller to track their cost of goods sold and other costs outside the platform, like office supplies, but I would really love to see or be pointed to a list of reports that are of an accounting nature. Thanks for your podcast. I consider the podcast to be ground zero for accurate information. Signed, Judith, CPA, and her store name is Azalea's Books and Boutique Shop.
Judith, thank you for the vote of confidence. We love having an actual CPA as a regular listener.
We do. She can keep us honest if we make an accounting error. Right?
It's safe to say that all of the available eBay reports can be useful for a seller's business accounting needs.
Indeed, and I use them as well. And the best explanation about what reports provide which information can be found in the help pages at eBay. And I know we reference these a lot, but there's some good information there. If you go to the top of any eBay page and click Help and Contact at the top of any eBay page, and then in the next page you type in Reconciling, this will take you right to the page that has all the details about each report.
And we'll also put that link to the page in the transcript for this episode, number 192. But in the meantime, we can provide some insights into which reports contain what data.
Yes. First, Judith, eBay store subscription fees and eBay fees and final value fees and promotions.
All of these fees are found on the monthly invoice detailed download as separate line items for each fee. You can find that link for invoices as a tab on the payments report section of the Seller Hub.
And then eBay shipping fees. You can view your eBay label spend in either the invoice, which is monthly, as a summary in the summary download, or as line items in the invoice detail download. You should check both of those out. Or if you want to see a wider time frame with line items for shipping fees paid by transaction, you can download a transaction report.
And that report, like the other one, is available on Seller Hub under the Payments tab. Click the Reports link to find it. And the nice thing about a transaction report is that you can set a start and end date for each report. The invoices are only available by month.
Our next email was sent by eBay seller Fran to podcast@ebay.com. Why don't you read this email?
Sure. Hello. Love these podcasts. I work full-time outside of my small eBay store, and I spend a lot of time prepping listings on the weekend. I've been wondering if by scheduling a listing every day, it shows that I list daily. Does it help my algorithm, or should I just save for later and list my item in the morning? Thanks for considering and answering my questions. I do hope one day to be a full-time reseller. Oh, do I receive an eBay mug for this? Fran. And the answer to the last question is a resounding yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're enjoying the podcast. Listing time is not a factor for that algorithm. That is, there is no connection between when you list and how your items show up in Best Match Search.
Yeah. And I was thinking while you were reading the question, is this yet another eBay urban myth making the rounds?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Either way, it's our job to dispel them. So, Fran, every seller has their own process for sending listings live to the site. Some list continually, some list in batches. I tend to do that. Many buyers tend to search for newly listed, and having new items appear on a regular basis can help lift sales.
And that's an important tactic, by the way. I think the call here is ABL, always be listing. Yeah. ABC, always be closing. Always be listing, especially if you sell one-of-a-kind items. Sellers who know about this from experience tell us that in order to make selling of one-of-a-kind items a viable business, they have to have a lot of items for sale, hundreds, not tens. I know people try to make a living with 50 items. That's not going to happen. And they have to constantly be listing new items. So that's the tactic here. If you're going to sell like one-offs where, you know, you're thrifting or you go to estate sales, you're liquidating or selling on consignment, you got to have a lot of listings up in order to make it a business.
And Fran, just to confirm, you're on the mug list. Our next email was sent to podcast@ebay.com. Hi, this is Mr. Ari, username Ari Lari Johnny. I started listening to this podcast and selling on eBay 2 months ago. Absolutely love the points you guys bring up. Anyway, I had scheduled time away while I had two orders, one that was pending for payment and the other one was an ongoing auction, which would end before my time away ends. FYI, now that I'm sending this email, they are both fully paid. I did print the shipping labels, but I won't be able to ship them till I'm back to California, which is in another 6 days from the date they got paid. Now the questions. I'm curious, if not shipping these orders is going to affect my ranking or future sales, will the customer be notified about the late shipment? Mr. Ari, from Redlands, California. Well, welcome, Ari, to the podcast. Whether or not the late shipments impact your ranking or future sales depends on your current seller performance levels.
Yeah, and your seller levels determine the benefits you receive for selling on eBay. And the levels that you can be in, there's three of them. You can be top rated, which is the one everyone loves. You can be above standard, which is where you're kind of in the middle. And you can be below standard, which is not a good thing on eBay.
You do not want to be there. If these items are late in delivery, they will both impact your late shipment rate. This is one of several performance metrics used to determine your account status. In order to be top rated, a seller has to maintain a late shipment rate of 3% or less. Or to put it another way, maintain a 97% or higher shipped on time rate.
Mm.
And the count of late shipments must be 6 or less.
Yeah. And here's how that works. If you exceed both the maximum percentage of 3% and the count of 6 late shipments within a evaluation period, which can be monthly or yearly, depending on
your volume.
Yeah, exactly. Then your account will not meet the criteria and your status will be lowered. However, if you only exceed one of those two different metrics, but not both, you still meet the criteria technically and your status won't be changed. And since we don't know your current performance levels, we cannot say with any certainty if your status will be impacted by these two late shipments, but you can check for yourself really easily, actually. Just go to Seller Hub. And then when you're in the Seller Hub, look for the Performance tab. And then when you're on Performance, select the option for Seller Level. All your current performance metrics can be found there, including your late shipment rate.
And there is a page on eBay that explains the top-rated seller program in detail. We'll put the link to that page in the transcript for episode 192. And another way you can view your own dashboard is by going to Seller Hub, Performance, Seller Level. No need to find a link.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Again, Seller Hub, Performance, Seller Level. So I hope that answers your question, Ari. The other question that you ask is, will the buyers be notified about the late shipment? Yeah, they'll receive an email from eBay saying the seller has shipped the item. And because it's probably going to be 6 days after they had expected it to be shipped, they will know that it's been shipped late. We use either the tracking information that shows when delivery happened, as opposed to when it should have happened, and or the buyer's response and feedback that says this item did not arrive on time. And either of those will count that transaction into a late shipment. But if these are the only two you have and you haven't had any in the last year, and you're not expecting to have any more, we hope, you should be fine because it's below 6.
Right.
We do those two different metrics to protect sellers who sell on a low volume because you can reach 3% really quickly if you only sell in a, you know, a couple items a month, for example.
Right.
And I checked, and Ari does not have a lot of inventory up. So that if there wasn't that 6 count, yeah, this could be an issue. Our next email was sent to podcast@ebay.com by eBay seller Kyle, who wrote, "For the past few months, my wife has sourced dozens of specific cosmetic items and has sold them on eBay. Congratulations! From a buyer's eyes, being able to see both the quantity a seller has available and the quantity sold is very insightful, and it adds credibility to a seller and the authenticity of the product. We were at 27 sold, 3 available, and we were picking up additional inventory later in the day, but before we did, a buyer bought the last 3, and the listing was ended, but also the quantity sold statistic. It disappeared. A month or so later, we get all the way back to 56 sold, 4 available, and again, restocking inventory later that day when a buyer swoops up the final 4. A bittersweet moment because we made a great sale, but the hard work of the quantity sold statistics again lost. My question," says Kyle, "is there a way to recoup the quantity sold stat after quantity goes to 0, but is then restocked? Hope to hear from you soon. Kyle." And his user ID is Sweet Keister. Well, I think that's a matter of opinion. And Beth, who is Bethykins81. Okay, now those have to be the cutest little user IDs I've seen
those
in a while.
Those are great.
Sweet Keister and Bethykins81. P.S. I would love the opportunity to surprise my wife with a mug.
How do we know Beth doesn't listen?
Yeah, she may already know that there's a mug on the way, Kyle. So we'd love to send you a mug. However, you forgot one important detail in your email. You have to send us an address for shipping because we just can't put it out there.
I can get it based on his user ID.
We don't know if that's the one he wants to ship it to.
True.
It could end up going to, you know, a dead letter drop or something.
That's true.
But as to your question, the short answer is there is no way to recover and display the quantity sold number from a listing once the quantity hits 0 and the item ends. and then you restock it. So, sorry.
However, there is one way to keep the quantity sold from resetting, and that is restocking the listing in advance of reaching zero quantity.
Yeah.
You can always edit a live listing to increase the quantity.
Yeah, of course, this means finding those sources before you run out, and that might not always be practical depending on how you source these cosmetic items. And you know, Brian, when I was reading this at first, I wondered just how important that quantity sold figure is to incentivizing a buyer to purchase. I never paid much attention to it. And if he's actually reaching zero and then having to start over, he's obviously making sales. I actually don't think it's that important.
Well, and the other thing is, if he's relisting that item, he doesn't lose the sales history. So he continues to get the benefit of the sales history for that item.
Can you explain to Kyle exactly what that is?
Yes. When you list an item, one of the factors that goes into best match search is how frequently does an item get purchased based on how many views does it have?
Right.
And the more purchases compared to views, the more it can move up in search. That history stays with your item as long as you relist that item.
Right. So if he's restocking it, he's not relisting it. It's just starting it up. He has the same item number and
right.
Same history. Yeah.
Just relist. So adding new stock. And so you keep that history, which means because it seems to be selling well, it's probably performing well in search. And so eyeballs are still getting to it. I will say, though, I'm not like you. Sometimes I have looked at some items where I've seen 76 sold. And, you know, I think, okay, well, if other people find it, you know, that particular item, and I'm comparing between two very similar items, I might go, well, this one sold 76 and this one's only sold one. I'm going to buy the one where 76 were sold.
You know, I have seen that. And in almost every case, I do that a lot because I'm still buying perfume. I know I shouldn't.
I thought you were trying to sell perfume.
Well, I sell a lot and then I take some of the money and I buy a few. You know, it's an exchange. I'm trading up my collection. No, I am actually selling more than I buy. But when I'll see somebody who has a very successful rate of sales, and it's always price, at least in cologne and fragrance, it's always the fact that they have the lowest price. That's what's going to make me want to buy from them. Because okay. It's the same. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's not like it's a different cologne because someone has it. It's just that they got a better deal. And I'm always surprised, for example, how many sellers of the cologne, they're not actually checking. They don't actually contact me and say, oh, I'm not making any sales, but they aren't. And I'm thinking, yeah, because there's someone underselling
it.
And you got to pay attention to the competition.
You always have to pay attention to competition.
Well, I hope this answered your question, Kyle. If not, besides sending us your shipping address, send us an email saying, you didn't answer my question and I'd like you to repeat it and get more in detail. But I think we may have answered that.
But what I'm curious if anyone on the View Item team has done or plans to do any research around the conversion rate of items where that shows or doesn't show.
Anyway, that's all our questions for this week.
Do you have a question about selling on eBay? I know you do. Why not get it off your chest? Call us on 888-723-4630.
888-723-4630. We love it when you call your question, and we really do. And you can call that number any time of the day, any day of the week. Leave your question or comment on the voice line. And who knows? We just might put you on the air.
And if you're not a call-on-the-phone person, don't worry. You can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
Now, it's time for your 3-point podcast checklist. Number one.
Check the announcement board at community@ebay.com for up-to-date seller news every day.
Number two, get to know your report options. Go to the Seller Hub, then the Performance tab, click on the Reports link in the left-hand navigation, and then create, download, and view each type of report. You'll be surprised how much information you can find there.
And number three, check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and where to find the links we referenced during the episode.
On our next episode, we're going to talk about buyer groups and more with eBay product team member Perrin Jogani.
We'd like to again thank our guest this week, Valerie Yee from the Product Organization.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.